Well, I planned this morning to preach on another theme, but this week I felt led to go in a different direction. Back when I was in seminary, a high school student who ran cross country suffered an injury, and she asked her pastor if he would preach on not giving up. And the sermon hit me a long time ago, 20-something years ago. And this week, I could not get that sermon out of my mind. For some reason that I don't know, maybe you know, I just trust God when stuff like this happens. So this sermon leans pretty heavily on my friend's sermon on not giving up. But I think this sermon is for all of us who struggle with a worthy goal, who also find yourself facing some obstacles, and you get tired of the struggle, and you get tired of the obstacles, and you're tempted to give up. This, I hope, is to encourage you in the words of today's text to lift your drooping hands, to strengthen your weak knees, and to run with perseverance the race that's before you. Will you pray with me? God, may the meditations of all our hearts and the words of my mouth be pleasing to you. You, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So someone told me a story once about Winston Churchill, and I'm unable to verify the story, but it sounds like Churchill, and I really want it to be true, so I'm going to tell it to you today as if it were. They say he was asked to give a commencement address, and when it came his time to speak, he got up from where he was seated, and he walked to the lectern to speak to the students, and he said, "Never give up. Never give up. Never, never, never give up." And then he turned around and he went and sat back down. And I know I might have just gotten your hopes up telling you that story. Sorry if I did. I hope it's a true story. The never give up spirit is much too rare these days, isn't it? Our culture's values seem to be sensitivity and openness, free expression, going with our own feelings, going with our gut, you know, honoring our impulses. We're not so hot on discipline and duty, hard work, perseverance, endurance. Robert Bly, the poet, and some others have put it this way. They say we've lost our inner warrior, that part of us that hangs tough to do what just has to be done, the part that decides to stand for and to live for and digs deep for the discipline to push through. The virtue of endurance is in danger. The will, in spite of setbacks, obstacles, pain, and all the fluctuations, how do you say that? All the variations of our feelings to choose the right thing and to push through, to pursue to the finish. Who's teaching that these days? That Bible does. The Bible teaches it. James 1:12, blessed is anyone who in the time of testing perseveres. James 5:11, happy are those who have shown perseverance. Galatians 6:9, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Romans 5:3, we glory in sufferings because sufferings produce endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Philippians 3:13, this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. And then our great text from today's Scripture, Hebrews 12, let us then lay aside every weight that might hinder us and the sin that clings so closely and run with perseverance the race set before us. Looking to Jesus, consider him who was opposed and endured opposition. All disciplines are painful at the time, but they give a harvest of righteousness to those who will be trained by them. Therefore, lift your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees, and make a level path for your feet. Which is to say, never, never, never give up. The greatest champion of endurance was Jesus. He gave us his own example. He set his face like a flint for his goal, and he did not give up, although abandoned and dying. You know, you can tell Jesus loved the persevering by how many stories in the Bible describe him as cheering for all the plucky people. Jesus had a thing for the plucky, you know. There was that Syrophoenician woman who came begging to him to heal her daughter, and Jesus turned away. She badgered him with nerve and wit until he smiled and he gave her the gladdest yes. There was blind Bartimaeus who was hollering for help so loud that they had to tell him to shut up. So what did Bartimaeus do? He hollered even louder. And Jesus just smiled and said, "Bring him to me." There was that bleeding woman, ritually, legally forbidden to touch anyone, but doggedly pushed her way through the crowd and touched him, and he turned to her and said, "Woman, that faith makes you whole." There was Mary of Bethany, who was accosted by her sister Martha to get back into that kitchen right now, but Mary didn't budge from Jesus' feet where Mary wanted to be, and Jesus sings Mary's praise. And of course there is Simon Peter, who was always getting it wrong. God love him. But he keeps getting back up again. He gets up again and again, and Jesus beams and says, "That's my rock." In so many ways, Jesus taught us to never give up. He said to be stubborn with God, basically. Go after God. He says, go after God like a woman who wants justice so badly that she harasses the judge until she gets it. Go after God, he says, like a man who needs bread and bangs on the door at midnight until the whole neighborhood gets up and he gets his bread. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, he said. And then one day, he said a sentence that for some reason we have all but forgotten, he said. You'll find it in Luke 21:19. Jesus said, "By your endurance, you will gain your soul." Have you heard the story about this kid that was in his bed and he was thirsty? He says, "Dad," hollering from the other room, "Dad, I want a glass of water." "Go to sleep, son." "Dad, I really want a glass of water." "No, now be quiet." "Dad, son, if you say it one more time, I'm coming in there and I'm spanking your bottom." And then there's this long pause. There's just silence. But after a silence, "Dad, after you spank me, will you bring me a drink of water?" This is what Jesus calls faith. You know, we live these days with a strange notion that, you know, what ought to be should come naturally and easy. Where did we get this crazy idea? If it doesn't come to us naturally or easily, well, it must not be meant to be. This is what we think often, right? The Bible knows better. The Bible knows that there is the deepest resistance in us, in all the world, to what ought to be. You feel that in yourself sometimes? Me too. So when we finally choose the right thing, it will always somehow be the hard thing. Faith is hard. Loving is tough. Building character is a struggle. Scripture tells us so. Bearing witness to the truth in this world is a battle. And so we will never achieve what we ought to achieve. We will never become who we were created to become apart from the long discipline and the pain of persevering. So, a few questions for you. What do you wish you had more of? Do you wish you had more talent? Please don't. Talents are just the cards you're dealt. And the world is full of talented people who achieve not much of anything that matters eternally. Do you wish you had more intelligence? Well, the world is full of bright people whose lives don't bear much fruit. We mustn't wait for and wish for gifts that aren't ours. If you want to desire anything, desire mostly this. Desire to be persistent in the gifts that you have been given, in the calling that you have heard, to pursue with all your strength the work, the love that are yours alone to give under God. The call really isn't to get there flawless or first or even fast. The call is to stay in the race, one foot after the other, to the finish. Now, I know you've heard some of this story before. In the Olympics about 20 years ago, there was a race in which a runner was working his way towards the finish line, and he has an injury. He pulls his hamstring, which, as most of you know, is a painful, instantly crippling injury. But this guy doesn't step off of the track. He continues to limp toward the finish line. His father is in the stands, comes down onto the track to put his arm around his son and to walk all the way to the finish together. This is the kind of race you and I are in. This is the kind of God we have, who refuses to stay in the stands, but comes down into our lives with us. It's the kind of heart you have, in a calling that doesn't say, get there first or fast. Just keep moving. Finish. I have another story to tell you. It's about William Carey. You know about William Carey? William Carey lived in England about 200 years ago. He was poor, and he was uneducated, and his trade was making shoes. He was a Christian, he was a Baptist, and he got this vision in his head that the news of Christ should be shared in places where Christ was unknown, which seems to make a lot of sense, doesn't it? Then I guess it was a surprise back then. This was back in the days when Christians, well, no Christians, but Catholic Christians were doing missionary work. Most Protestants kept themselves in some kind of Calvinism that said God would damn or save whoever God wanted. So why do we need to do anything, they thought. But this is not what this guy thought. Carey couldn't go to school, and so in his off hours, he taught himself Greek and Hebrew, Latin and French and Dutch in his off hours. The evidence is that his intellectual gifts really aren't that strong. He began pleading with his fellow Baptists to get a vision for global missions. He kept saying this sentence, expect great things, attempt great things. Most of his friends thought he was crazy. Some of them finally, in the end, made a commitment, and they sent him and his family and a missionary partner to India. His father opposed him. His wife opposed him, but he went. Once he got to India, his partner deserted him. The money that was promised never came. He and his family became desperately poor and very sick. His wife became mentally ill. Their 5-year-old son died of dysentery. And though he tried to share the gospel with his Indian friends, for 7 years, not one ever believed. But do you know what William Carey accomplished? William Carey translated the entire Bible into 6 different languages of India. He translated huge portions of Scripture into 29 different dialects and languages. He made it to hundreds of villages to tell hundreds of people of the love of Christ, and hundreds, in the end, were converted. But more than this, in India, he vigorously lobbied against social ills. And you know, William Carey helped to put a stop to the Indian slave trade and to the ritual killing of infants, and to the burning alive of widows, to the people of India, especially to the poor. He brought medicines. He brought schools. He brought the love of God in Christ. You know, he never really thought he accomplished much in his whole life. But this is what interests me the most about him. Near the end of his life, he wrote a letter to his nephew, and he spoke of someone who was writing a biography about him. He said, if this guy gives me credit for being a plotter, then he will describe me justly. Anything more is too much. I can plod. I can persevere. To this, I owe everything. You know, the world doesn't need any more flashy successes. with quick winners in little goals. The world needs people. People with great dreams, goals as long as a lifetime, who will keep plotting. The world needs people and God. The God who called you. The God who gave you life. The God who will never give up on you or the entire world. This God's not looking for perfection, just perseverance. God delights in splendid stubbornness and tenacious faith. Failure? Expect it. Opposition? Count on it. Pain? Of course. Just keep getting up again and again and again. With the call of God in your ear and the goal of Christ in your eye, looking to Jesus, says the text, looking to the strength beyond your strength, lift your drooping hand. Strengthen your weak knees and run or walk or plod with perseverance the race set up before you. Never, never, never give up. Will you pray with me? God of every persistent strength, God of every stubborn grace, put in us the will that is your will to pursue what is right with all our heart, with all our strength. God, we thank you for dreams that draw us on and for goals that grow us up and for Christ, who not only runs before us, but within this day forevermore. Amen. Amen.